What did I say to go? I didn't say go anywhere. I thought you might have picked that up already by the Spirit. Let's just Romans 4:17. Can you say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to praise God. I'm trying to get online here while you're praising Jesus. You know, sometimes this thing is, you know, you don't know how these things work, these gadgets. I wrote up something and I tried to send it out and it's not there. So Romans 4:17. Here's Paul speaking, Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God speaking to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, or like unto God, who he believed in God, even God. God who quickens the dead. God who calls those things which be not as though they were. So I want to just share a few words this morning with you about calling it like it is. Calling it like it is. And so we have to follow instructions in the Bible. And I feel like, you know, we need instructions. The Lord spoke to me to give instructions this morning about giving. About your faith, demonstrating your faith and demonstrating your love, because love and faith needs to be expressed. You have to ask yourself, how do I express my faith, my belief in something? How do I express my faith, my belief in this church? How do I express my love for these people? Well, you do it by giving of yourself, giving of your resources, giving of your time, giving of your skill. That's how you show your love. And the way you demonstrate your love is what you do. Some people express a little bit more because sometimes they have more opportunity to do it. And some people less because they don't really care. They don't know to care, maybe, perhaps. Let's put it that way. They don't know that they should actually care. But we have to, when we're living with in the things of God, we live in a natural world. We're spiritual beings, firstly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 tells us that we're a triune being, just like God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are spirit beings first. We're soulish. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And listen to this. I want you to see this, because there's a lot of folks that have a problem with this thing. They say, you know, mind, body, spirit, and what do they say? Mind, body, spirit, soul, or whatever. But they don't understand from a biblical standpoint, but the soul and the mind are of the same thing. But the spirit and the mind are not the same thing. Or your feelings and your conscience is two separate things. Your conscience is not your spirit. Your conscience is not your feelings is not your conscience. If your conscience is bothering you, you say you feel a certain way, it's not your feelings per se, it's your conscience. Your spirit is speaking to you. When you do something wrong, on the inside of you, you know something's wrong. It's not your feelings. It's, you know, it affects your feelings. So, when people get led by the Spirit, you're either going to be led by your own mind or your soul, or that is how you feel about things, or if I have enough time, if I have enough money, if I feel safe, I'll do it. You know, so people do things like that. They'll make decisions based on the assumption that there's, you know, there's Their feelings are actually their spirit. So they're making wrong decisions over and over again. And life has never really changed all that much for 20 years. Because they're basing their decisions all the time the same way. Somebody said this to me a long time ago, and it helped me a lot, and it might help you a lot. If you want something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. It's like saying this, doing something over and over and over again, expecting changes, is insanity. Are there any sane people here? Yeah, I'm sure there is. We believe that we are. But, okay, so you have to understand this. You have to understand this for sure. If you're going to walk by faith, and if you're going to follow God, you have to understand that you're built in three parts. Everybody say, I am built in three parts. So say, I am a spiritual being. See, I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. If you say that, you know, if you look at it, you'll see that in the scripture. You begin to understand that. And when you make decisions, you'll make it, you know, you're going to make right decisions. And somebody said, I put on, my Facebook the other day, I heard Kenneth Hagin, our pastor, said, if you're going to be a Christian, you might as well get used to it. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have troubles. Don't quit church. Don't quit following God just because you got trouble. Everybody's got trouble. If you're in the world, you have trouble. It's just that in the world, you'll handle it differently. You'll go and drink, and you'll go and cheat on your wife if you're having a hard time. Your wife doesn't want to have sex with you, or you have a hard time getting together, and all of a sudden, one guy's not getting something, so they go out and cheat. Come on now. And so you have to be able to, I'm talking to young people, I'm talking to Christians who understand this. You make a decision. Follow God. As for me, my house will serve the Lord. You say, well, I'm going to follow God only if everything goes right for me. I'm going to go to church. If everybody loves me in church, then not everybody's going to emotionally be tied to you. And not everybody's glad to see you. Get over it. Amen? Because you could be a pain in the behind. Because the Bible tells us there's some people in the church that are a pain in the behind. It tells us that. I'm going to show you something in the Bible. Because, sometimes there's some people you don't get along with, but you still have to love each other. Isn't Colossians says, you have to put up with each other? Like my wife puts up with me. I know sometimes she doesn't like me, and I sometimes don't like her. It doesn't mean we're going to leave each other. We have faith. We believe that I'm believing she'll change. you have to have faith, right? Not everything's going to work out for you all the time. Just the way he planned it. I have all my little plans, I'm planning on the Maple Leafs to win every game this year. How many people know it's not going to happen? I already lost what somebody said, eh? But and then things change in your life. Sometimes you change, your feelings change. As situations change, feelings change. I told my wife, I look more and more like my dad. And I thought, I look like Burt Reynolds or something. Burt Reynolds, when he was young. Without a mustache. Things change, people change. So, when we're walking with God, take for example, let's look at Mark 11, 24. Let's put it up there, because remember this last statement in Romans 4, 17. We're talking about calling it like it is. Calling it like it is. Now I'm going to play on words here, but are you going to call it the way it is now, or are you going to call it the way God says it? I want to hang on to that thought for a second. Mark 11, 24 says this, "Therefore I say unto you," this is talking about prayer. This is called the prayer of faith, or what they call the prayer of petition, or prayer of asking God, or the prayer that changes things. You could say it many ways. You could call it many ways. But it's called the prayer petition. Basically, we understand it as a prayer of faith. That means you pray for something, you ask God for something, and you believe you receive it, and you don't have it yet. It says, "Therefore I say unto you," therefore is, that word is there because the previous statement that Jesus made about faith, how it works. Number one, you believe in your heart. It says you believe in your heart, and you say with your mouth. That's how faith works. You believe in your heart. Everybody say, "Believe with my heart." Say with my mouth. Say, "Believe with my heart." Come on, everybody. Say, "Believe with my heart." Say with my mouth. One more time. "Believe with my heart." Say with my mouth. Now, watch this. Your heart, when I started out saying you're a tripartite being, first of all, your heart is not your feelings. It's certainly not your body. When he's talking about the heart, he's not talking about the heart, the part that pumps your blood all over your body. When he's talking about your heart, he's talking about the core of the center of your being. The first part of man, the spirit man, the inside man. The heart is the spirit man. First Peter calls it, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3. He says that verse 4, I think it's called the hidden man. The spirit is a hidden man, or he says the hidden man of the heart, or the person, the part that's on the inside of you. You have to believe God from the inside out. You get healed from the inside out. Before you ever see healing in your body, it starts in your spirit first. It starts on the inside. Everything you get in life starts on the inside. Okay, so he says, "Therefore I say to you, what things?" Everybody say, "Things." We want things to change. We want things in our body to change. We want things like things we need. What things soever. If there's a thing in the Bible that promises you that's yours, you can use it right there. What things? If it's healing, if it's finances, if it's safety, if it's for whatever it is. What thing soever. Whatever you desire. You desire, not somebody else. You. This is the prayer that you make. No one can make this prayer for you unless they agree with you using Matthew 18, 18, and 19. You can pray a prayer of faith only when they ask you to do it for them. You can receive for them, but you can agree to receive with them. Two shall agree on earth as touching anything. So what things soever you desire, that's me when I'm praying. If I say, "Oh, I desire you to have a nice house," I move to Tahiti. Well, I don't want a nice house in Tahiti. I want it in Suckle Creek or somewhere, like, you know. Somebody says, "Well, I desire that for you." No, you can't push your desire on somebody. I want you to be healed. No, you can't make somebody healed. They have to want it. They have to have this desire. So therefore, whatsoever you desire... How many people know there's lots of unfulfilled desires? When you desire, whatever you desire, look at this. When you pray, what do? When you pray, you believe that you receive. That means the moment you're praying, you're going to believe you receive, and you believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Shall is designated as future tense. Shall, have is actually... you know, it's present tense, right? Okay, so you do that prayer, you pray, you have to do what we just read over here. Let's go back to the scripture here, and Romans 4 and 17. We're saying, you know, this message is called calling it like it is. But really, we can't call it like it is, because you don't want what you have right now if you have a bad situation. So you can't call it like it is. You have to call it like God says you have it is. So he says, as it is written, he's talking about, Abraham back then, our father, as it is written, this was written, I have made thee a father of the nation. So he's quoting Genesis. He's quoting the book of Genesis. I believe it's chapter 17 there somewhere. So Paul is quoting that, the Old Testament. He's not making this up. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. So as that particular time when God was speaking to Abraham, he was not a father of many nations in Genesis 17. He couldn't produce children. His wife was barren. And he was well beyond age. The Bible says he's almost 100 years old. And God came to him. And I think God showed us something here, because he's the father of faith. God wants to show us. He picked this man to demonstrate to us about what we can have in our own lives. So he says, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So the last section of that Bible. So God called things as though it was happening. God was calling Abraham a father of many nations when he couldn't produce naturally in his life. Him and his wife were beyond age. It was impossible, naturally impossible for them to produce. They were not just because she was barren, but they were also old. I was listening to Pastor Murray this morning on Spirit Alive on television, turned it on, Murray was preaching. He gave a testimony about that he had this situation going on in his physical body and he was sick. They took him to the hospital, or he went to the hospital, and the doctor said, you might have all these things. And he started thinking about his life. Suddenly, his life flashed before him. He said, hey, wait a minute. I just had twins. Am I going to be here to see them? You know, one of our staff here said once gave a testimony and said, you know, I don't think, I don't know if what he meant, but I took it like, healing was not that important to him right now. Pastor preached a healing message on that weekend. It's always going to, you know, didn't make much of it. He said, here's what I got out of it, out of the weekend. But I was thinking, you know, healing is only important to you when you're sick a lot of times. Or when someone tells you you're at your last legs, you're going to die. But I'm going to tell you that healing is important right now, because somewhere along the line, somebody in your family is going to get sick. They're going to get, something's going to happen in your life. You're going to have to believe God. One of the most important things in life is people to be healed. And well, God, you cannot follow God being sick mentally or emotionally. You cannot follow God if you're broke. There are ministers today in our city that want to follow God, but they have no money to follow God. They don't know how to believe God for money. I'm going to tell you something. You think money's not important? It is. And so they can't follow God. They can't follow the dream because they don't know how to believe God. They have a dream, but they don't know how to believe for the natural. Because you live in a natural world. Yeah, God has a call, but how many of you have to translate that in the natural? If you're sick physically, you can't follow God. If he says go to Africa or travel, do have a traveling ministry, how many people know traveling ministry is not an easy ministry? You travel. You start eating those restaurant foods every day for a few years, I'm telling you something, it starts affecting your body. Now, you laugh right now, you're eating steak now, but you're going to start crying if you have to eat steak all the time. You want to eat home-cooked food. So, He says, so he calls those things as being not as though they were God. The Bible says here, the Bible says in this verse of Scripture that God, he quickens the dead, and he calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, when something is not in your life the way the Bible says it can be in your life, we need to begin to call it like it is. Call it the way God said it. If you're sick, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. We say, I feel weak. I feel weak. Everybody you talk to, everybody come to you, say, I feel weak. I feel weak. I'm telling you, there's studies that tell people that if you keep saying something, something happens in your body. You have to say, I'm strong. When you're weak, the weakest moments in your life, you got to say, I'm strong. When you're really sick, say, thank God, healing is mine. I have it now. Your marriage is not working right. You say, thank God, I'm blessed. What a wonderful marriage. And Lord, please change my wife. No, that's not the way it works. They say, Lord, please change me. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? How does that translate? What is he talking about? We walk by faith. He's talking to Christians. Paul, in many other verses of Scripture, talks about, the just shall live by faith. In different verses of Scripture, Galatians 3:17, I believe, says that, or 11, says that we walk by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 1:17, somewhere on there, says that we walk by faith, not by sight, or the just shall live by faith. Those are the Scriptures that are really consistent with what he says in this verse of Scripture. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. There's a lot of people are mixing this up. They're walking by sight and not by faith. There's a lot of people that are doing this right now. They're walking by sight and not by faith. What do you mean by that? They say, well, if I feel better, if I don't feel that sick. If I don't, when I get these things happen to me, so they don't, when it really comes to a real bad sickness, they're not going to be doing this for sure. If you have a headache, you should try it out once in a while. Don't go for that pill first. Just try to fight it off. Just you start using your faith a little bit. Sometimes you might have to take one. Yeah, go ahead, take one. Don't feel condemned, but at least try it. At least try it. You have a sore back, I got to stay away from church today. What are people going to say? I'm a man of faith. Excuse me, guys. You have to be able to, just get up and go. We walk by faith. The word faith, you can change that word faith. It wouldn't do you justice or change anything about Scripture. We walk by the Word of God. And not by our feelings or circumstances. I don't walk by how I see it. I don't walk by how I see it. Who told you that you have to walk by how you see it? God sees your life different from how you see it. You're limited. You're finite. You can only see with your eyes and feel with your hands and know things according to your five senses. But God is beyond your five senses. Oh, my experience says this, I've been around for so. Well, God is older than 79 years old. He's older than 150. He knows what he's talking about. So if a young man, a preacher, tells you when he's 17, if he's 17 years old and speaks to you the Word of God and you're 95, it's still valid because he's speaking by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, if it's in the Bible. We walk by the principles. We walk by principle, not by how I feel. Every time you're going to make a decision, say, you know, hey, what's the principle I'm supposed to stand on here? Find out where you could operate, because not everybody has the same level of faith. Start where you're supposed to start. You know, start where you're supposed to start and grow from there. We should be getting better all the time. Challenge yourself. Don't just say, you know, oh, I just can just lift this 20 pounds here. You know, you've been doing that for 20 years. Add on at least a two-pounder. How many people just say, you know, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to lose weight? They never lost weight yet, including me. I said, my shirts are shrinking, but it's really, I'm growing. I stopped eating those chickens. You know, yesterday, I'm, you know, not a really bad criticism, but that's the worst chicken I've ever eaten yesterday. You know, but it was good chicken, but it was worse because of the, whatever they did with it. We'll change that. Okay. That's not in the sermon. We walk by faith and not by sight. What does it mean? So you can say this, we walk by the principles of God's word. If I can find a principle, I walk by that instead of by walking how I feel. Here's a mistake that people have made. If you go to Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, let's go to verse 33. Let's go to 31, 33. Here are people who actually walk by sight and not by faith. This is an example. God, let me just give you a little background of the story. God spoke to Joshua. Are you listening? Say, I am. So God spoke to Joshua and said, send men out and spy out the land. And, you know, God said, I've got to give you that land. It's yours. It belongs to you. Isn't that how it always is? God says, you can have it, but, you know, there's something standing in your way. Okay, so in this situation, don't listen to him. Pretend he's not there. Okay. Okay. You have to come out when I tell you, okay? Okay. Okay. The story goes, God sends these guys out. They said, go spy the land, see how it is, you know, make an assessment. And they came back with 10 people saying, we can't do it. 2 people said, we can. Their names were Caleb and Joshua. God said they had a different spirit. They had a different attitude about things. They came back with a different attitude. They said, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's what they said. You find that in Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so, here's what the spies said. Can we go to 30 for a second? What does 30 say? I know I said 30. Okay, this is getting interesting here. Okay, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. You know where his faith was? He said, we're able to do it. Everybody say, we are well able. Why did he say that? Because God said it. He didn't say it, oh, look at me, man, I'm a warrior. No, he said it because God said they can have it. Let's go to verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. God never told them to make an assessment if they had, you know, MMA people out there and they're professional fighters. He said, we're not able to. You always got people in the Christian church who say we're able, other people who say we can't. And who are you going to believe? Well, apparently, a lot of people believe these people who said we couldn't. A lot of people in the church are believing people who are saying we can't do stuff, they're believing that in church. And they're believing that, and these people, if you know historically, you read the rest of the chapters, you'll understand this. All the people died. These people died, and their children, or at least, you know, their children of a certain age, they died. And Joshua and them went over and got the land. Let's go to verse 32. And they brought up an evil report. Evil report says you couldn't do it. Unbelief. Which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to see, search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw there are men of great stature. Verse 33. We saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. In other words, the way they saw themselves, they projected what they saw, you know, what they saw themselves upon what people saw of them. They said, those guys are looking at us like we're grasshoppers. And so they thought, we can't do it, we're just so small. And then you might feel so small with fighting against cancer, or you're fighting against, you know, a real obstacle in life. Somebody in your house has addictions and they can't stop. Or somebody in your life, you need to do something and you don't have the money to do it. It's amazing what happens to people when they believe stuff like this. When God says, go and take it. This is a prime example. And then you see in chapter 14, you'll see, I believe it's verse 17. Let me just see if I can check in my Bible here. Numbers 33. Call it like it is. That's what we're talking about. Where we are, we're in Numbers. Where are we at? 13. I'm in Exodus. Numbers 13. I want to show you something here. In chapter 14, I want to see chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And all the people that night, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, we would that we had died in the land of Egypt. That's what they said. And God told the man, go and do this, and all the other people said, we can't do it. And they said, we should have died over there. We should have just died in Egypt. You get what you say. God told them, you can have it, and they didn't believe it. He said, remember that. He says, they murmured. He said, we should have died in Egypt. Now I want you to go over here. Verse 24. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, another attitude with him, had fallen fully, I'll bring him to the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. That's a tremendous testimony there. It's a real tremendous testimony. Verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so it will be done unto you. So they were calling it like they saw it. They were calling it like they felt. Not the way God saw it. So we can't walk by what we feel like. We can't walk by. It's dangerous to just behave in a way with your lower level of life. Your soulless nature. And a lot of people are walking by their soul. They you know, because they don't want to tithe. They don't want to tithe because they just don't want to. Because they feel that it's against them. They can't do it by faith. You have to tithe by faith like everything else. It's not you have to. Of course, you don't have to if you don't want to. But, you know, you have to if you want to follow God. Like everything else in the Bible. And so say unto them, as surely as I live, God says that, as you have spoken in my ears, so will be done unto you. So we can't walk by what we feel. We can't just say what we want to say. Like, you know, you have to be careful. You know, don't just say what you want to say all the time because you feel it, because you have the right to. You have a right to speak any way you want, but you must not. There was a lady in the scripture verse here over in here's something. Let me just give you this, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, I know I had the plans I have for you. This is NLT. I know the plans I have for you. How many people know that God has a plan? He says, plans are for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And let me ask you something right now. Does that look like your life right now? Maybe you're in disaster right now. Maybe you don't have any hope right now. Maybe you don't have a future as you see it right now. But you got to call it like God calls it. Call it like I got a future. I have hope in my life. As long as I have God, I got hope in my life. I'm not dead yet. I got hope. I got a future. Yeah, you might messed up a lot, and you've quit a lot of stuff. And you did a lot of things that's, that's even hurting you still today. But you gotta I believe it. So you have to be able to tell yourself, listen, I'm gonna call it like God calls it. I'm not gonna call it like it is. You can't say, oh, my life is horrible. My life is in peril. I can't get out of this. I'll never get out of it. I'm just so in debt. Quit saying that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, if we go to 2 Corinthians 4:18, let's look at this. I'm going to finish here in 5 minutes, okay, if you need to go. 2 Corinthians 4:18, don't be calling it like it is. Call it like God calls it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. How could you look? Ask yourself, how could I look at things that I've not seen? How could you look at things that you can't see? How could you see things you can't see with your eyes? The Bible only can give you that. God can give you the eyes of faith by looking into the scripture and seeing your future the way God sees it. That's the only way you can do it. And we don't live, we don't live by the gifts of the Spirit and they're just whew, hopped up in the spiritual realm, look around, oh yeah, that's happening over there, that's happening over there. That doesn't always happen. And you don't always go out into the spirit world and have words of knowledge and words of wisdom every day. You might have one word of wisdom in your whole life. Or you might not even have one. So, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. They're subject to change. The things which are not seen, or the word of God, is eternal. You get that?
Yes.
The word of God is eternal. Hang on to the word of God. And say what the word of God says, because it's not going to change. It doesn't change with circumstances. It doesn't change with anything else. Just say what God says. I got so much to say here, but I got to close. I know you have to go home. Stand up, everybody. Praise God. I hope I helped you this morning. Because you can't call it the way it is. Thank you, Lord. Strike a chord. Esther. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody say a walk. Say, I walk according to the word of God. Say, I don't always act on how I feel. Say, most of the time I don't have to. Say, I act on the principles I find in the word of God. I walk by faith. And faith is according to the word of God. So I follow that. I always ask myself, Am I in faith? Is this Bible? And if it's Bible, I can act on it. Thank you, Father. Forgive me for walking contrary and saying things that are contrary to your word. I will call it according to the word of God. According to thus saith the Lord. Not according to what I see. Not according to what I feel. I'm calling it like God calls it. I am well. I'm healed. I'm free from depression. I'm healed from sickness and disease. I'm free from pain. I can walk. I can talk. I can see. I can eat. I can love. I can live. I thank God. I'm free from addictions. I'm free from pain. I'm free from fear. Thank you, God. I'm free. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to let you know that song we sang this morning that was good. We're free people. There's one scripture the Lord reminded me of this morning. It's a prayer. And first chapter there, Colossians, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet, or able, to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has, verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. You must tell yourself, I'm not only forgiven, I'm a new creation. God has forgiven all your sins. I want to let you know, those of you that are watching online right now, God has forgiven you all the sins. You have to accept that by faith. God has forgiven you whatever problems you might have killed somebody. You might have cheated on in your marriage. You might have robbed a lot of money. God loves you. And he wants to restore your life. And God says, I have a plan for you. Just like everybody here in this service this morning. God wants you out of that situation. He wants you into a new place where you can have a happy place. A new place. God has a place for you. And there is someone for you. There is someone that loves you. Someone's praying for you right now. And the reason why we're here speaking to you, because someone's been praying for you so that you can hear this very message this morning. And I pray and I believe that God has encouraged you and that you're going to get out of that situation. I'm praying and believing God right now that you're going to come out of that situation. And you'll never be the same today if you call on the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, save me. I believe you. You are the Son of God and you will be saved. Just accept that today. If you're here in this room right now, you need to make the dedication to God again. Everybody in this place, say, God, I thank you. I give you my life. I submit to your plan. Your plan is a good plan. I'm submitting to it right now. And I'm rededicating my life to your purposes. In the name of Jesus, I want to thank you. The monkey's off my back. There's good days ahead for me. I'm feeling good already. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. God loves you. Well, shake a few hands before you leave. Shake 2-3 hands. Give somebody a hug. In Jesus' name, we'll see you next time. Goodbye. Thank you, Lord.